Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Apologist segment of ARC Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. ARC Studies Live is the blogcast radio outreach of the Apologetic Research Center. ARC is a Christian ministry specializing in evangelism, Christian apologetics, and counterculture studies. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.arcstudies.org.
Claim to be Christian.
because I believe Christians are claiming to be students of Scripture, and they're not. They're students of their own hype, their own. They are, as we used to say, growing up, they're smelling themselves. You know, they want to be known as a great thinker out here in the marketplace of ideas. Instead of submitting to this didactic truth, subjective truths are Socratically gleaned, and Socratic is different in didactic, and the truth has arrived at through questions. And if you notice, that's all they do is they focus on just crafting loaded questions, carefully worded questions that get a desired result. You know, and why would anybody? I mean, I got to tell you, and I can't say this enough. I can't express this warning enough. That is exactly how cults function. Instead of just trying to say, okay, well, what is God saying on the matter? You know, what they'll turn around and do is say, well, you know, we're trying to get the truth out of God's word by these ridiculous questions in many cases. And we talked a bit about them yesterday. We'll talk about a few more questions today that I've gleaned that I really want to shed some light on. And I'll be doing that each and every day in this 30 or 45-minute segment. So instead of submitting to God's didactic truth, subjective truths are Socratically gleaned from it or through these ridiculous questions, tightly worded, loaded questions, you know, these quote-unquote truths, subjective truths. And subjective truth is not truth at all. You know, absolute truth is truth. Subjective is not. It's only true if I put it in this situation and I keep it in this light and I, you know. And that's why you'll see people defending the question rather than God's word. It's the most ridiculous thing you ever want to see, you know? So subjective truths are Socratically gleaned from God's word by those in ignorance see it as containing God's word rather than. And so to that end, I created both this broadcast and a group on Facebook. And the group on Facebook is in. It moves extremely slow. I don't think I posted it in except maybe the show in a while. But the intent is for it to be slow. And initially, you know, had somebody, you know, and try to bring some of that quick stuff in there where we're just talking. No, that's not the intent. It's going to be slow. Anybody posting there is going to be slow. I don't care if it's one post a month. You know? And I don't. Quite frankly, I could care less if a Satanist posts in there, as long as there's some serious discussion about what it is that they say. It's not meant for people to be clever. And this broadcast is just to answer some of these things, because it's ridiculous when you get into and you try to talk to these people and you try to reason with them in the formats that they've set up. You know, there's like tightly constructed questions. And if you don't play the game, you know, there's threats of leaving your post, even though you're addressing issues. And there's more than one group that I've seen this type of thing in. You know, it's either railing at some other group. It's never teaching God's word. It's either railing at something someone else is doing or doing the very thing that the other people are doing, but not seeing that you are doing the same thing. You know, but as Jesus said, our judgment is flawed. The judgment of human beings is flawed. You see, our biggest problem is that we judge everybody else by what they do, and we judge ourselves by what we intend to do. Now, if you're judging yourself by what you intend to do or what your intentions were, you can be committing the exact same thing as the person that you jump all over when they do it. But the reason why you miss it is because you're just judging their actions. You're not judging their intentions or what they intend to do. Like, I'll give you a good example. No Christian is required to tithe. But I see people rail at people who teach tithing. No, teach what scripture teaches about tithing. I don't need to rail at the people. I don't. I don't need to post every instance when they say something stupid about tithing. I don't need to do that. I don't need to point and say, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't have any problem with pointing out who's teaching what, because you should identify, you know, what's teaching, whether the person intends to be that or not. You should. But there's more of an emphasis by many of these to focus on the person. It's like railing at the people instead of what it is that's being taught that's there. Teach it accurately. You see, because all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. Reproof. Reproof is exposing what's false. Correction. You correct what has been exposed. And instruction and righteousness. It corrects it by itself. That's what I call God's washing machine. God's word is God's washing machine. You see, because I don't need to teach you that 2 plus 2 is not 15. All I have to do is show you what 2 plus 2 is. These are trying to rail and say, oh, look at those idiots teaching 2 plus 2 is 17. But at the same time, they're teaching it's 15, and they don't see it. Many of them are teaching, doing things that are much worse. Because while the other people are misusing the Word of God, demonstrably, I agree, these are undermining the Word of God. Because on the one hand, I was reading the post this morning where they were, and the scripture says this, and the scripture says that, and the scripture says this, and I'm sitting there and I'm reading this from a person who made this comment. One can believe the Holy Spirit and not the Bible. After all, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, not a Bible, if one is to be honest on the matter. Now, there's all kind of twisting and gymnastics to get away from that statement. But it's more than that statement, because I've seen that the same person and people around them, who I believe are well-meaning, exemplify that statement in multiple different other ways. That's just the most blatant that I had seen it, and apparently somebody found it somewhere else and reposted it in there. And you know, then you get the gymnastics of trying to, you know, defend that statement. I got to tell you, that statement is absolutely asinine. How can you believe? Well, first of all, let me ask you this question, all right? How can you prove the Holy Spirit? Don't use the Bible now. Don't use the Bible. Because Jesus never promised that. Don't use it. And if you believe that the Bible is, like, you know, corrupt in opinion and all the rest of that, see, well, maybe that was Luke's opinion. You see, Luke didn't even, he wasn't even there with Jesus. See, Luke wasn't with Jesus. Mark was never with Jesus. So maybe that was Luke and Mark's opinion about what Jesus said. You see, because Jesus didn't write in red ink. You see how asinine that gets. So then it becomes a matter of, you lean your own understanding, so you can decide which parts are the parts you want to use. You rail at other people for, say, for instance, saying being against tithing, or rather teaching tithing. Well, maybe that part of the Bible wasn't true. Let's say this. See, because, you know, you teach all that stuff about tithing, but who wrote those books? Some people say Moses wrote those books, but the books point out that Moses, you know, died. So Moses couldn't have wrote those books. How could he have wrote those books about his own death? How, who, and nowhere in there, show me one passage that says Moses wrote those books. So that was somebody's opinion who added all that, those five books, Pentateuch. Show me in the Pentateuch where it says, you know what, I'm a person writing for God. See how asinine that gets. And because we can't prove who wrote the Pentateuch, and you can't tell me who wrote it, then I can disregard it all. See, because, and that's where it tells you the tithes is wrong. See, I believe because the Holy Spirit in me is teaching me that tithes is right. In fact, it tells me we need to do more than that. We have a flawed, there's a twofold problem. First of all, you should not be out representing yourself as a student of Scripture if you're not a student of Scripture, because you're a student of your opinion about Scripture, which you hold in higher esteem to Scripture. That's number one. Number two, bluster does not compensate for ignorance. And when I use the term ignorance again, I'm not being offensive. I'm just using a biblical term. Let me read to you three passages. I think I only read two of them yesterday. And again, I'm free-flowing here. Let me see. I guess I probably should. Hold on one second. I guess I probably should. There we go. I think I had the chat session open. If you'd like to participate live on the on-air discussion, if you have questions or comments, feel free to give me a call. Area code 646-652-2905. Again, that's area code 646-652-2905 if you're listening live. If you happen to be listening via the archives, you can give me a call, 614-388-8838, with questions and comments. Also, if you're listening live, there is a chat session that is open and available for all who would like to offer questions or comments. All right, I'm going to quickly go through the why I keep using the term ignorant. Brethren, my heart says that I pray to God for Israel, that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. The problem that I see, as I see it today, is the same situation. As with them, God says something, they don't want it, people don't want to hear it, but to them it means something else, as I illustrated for you yesterday in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, 11, and following. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, on the account of the long-suffering of the Lord. Of our Lord is salvation, as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto you, as in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which some things are hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. And I pointed out to you yesterday, Matthias, the word that's disciples, when Jesus said, make disciples of all men in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. The same word is used here, translated on top, but with the negative, Matthias. And this is these are people who are actively untaught. They're willfully, and the word literally means ignorant. They don't want to be discipled by the word. They are rebellious to the word. They don't want to grow, as Scripture says, desire to sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Your growth should come through it, as Jesus said. And this whole idea of God didn't promise the Bible, he promised his word, that is just stupid. The word Bible is the Latin biblios. It just means books. They're really not books. But people have come to call them books. They're really letters that were written that contained the word of God. Or by contained, I don't mean somebody's opinion with them. I mean the paper that they were written on had God's words written on it. And I pointed out yesterday how I exploded that whole concept of, see, Paul used an opinion in 1 Corinthians 7. No, he did not. All he did was distinguish between what Christ had already taught and then what he was now adding to it. But all of it, according to Scripture, is by inspiration of God. Now, people could say, well, according to Scripture it is. Absolutely. If you don't accept what Scripture says about itself, that only men of God speak as they were moved. And exploded the myth again yesterday, because the person, one of the people who are holding this view and going down this dangerous road, when I quoted that Peter, the holy men of God, well, he's talking about Old Testament when he was talking about Scripture. He said that no Scripture came of any prophet. That was Old Testament. Why? My response to that person was, let's let Peter define what he means by Scripture. And in the same letter, I pointed out that Peter called all of Paul's letters Scripture. So Peter, when he was writing, didn't know prophecy of Scripture, included Paul's writings. And I've had people say to me, yeah, but he was like, no prophecy of Scripture came. See, that's past tense. Well, yeah. All Paul's letters had already been written when Peter wrote that. And Peter included all of Paul's writings as Scripture. And as such, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's theanoustos. Now, if you don't accept that reality, that's where you need to start. You don't just start off disregard and then make your own stuff up, because you are as bad, whether you intend to be or not, as a cultist who just ran into something they disagree with, and I'm going to just start my own stuff. Now, I submit to you, and I say it all the time, and because I say it all the time, and I noticed, and I didn't write it, I just heard it somewhere once, but I noticed a lot of people saying it. I created the graphic that many of you see, the graphic that has the little stop sign with the arrows going different direction. You know, when a person who is honestly mistaken encounters truth, when a person who's honestly mistaken encounters truth, one of two things will happen. Either they will cease being mistaken, and I don't mean to imply it can be overnight. Sometimes it can take place over time, because sometimes people's hearts are harder. And it's difficult for people to take themselves off the throne of their lives, because it's possible for Jesus to be your Savior and not your Lord. Everybody comes through with Lord and Savior. But when you come across the gate, instead of you growing with the growth that Scripture illustrates, as Peter put it, you know, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, modeling how we should be growing, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith, and that's faith for salvation at your birth. Add your faith in virtue. Virtue is right focus. And the only right focus you know is that God is good as a baby. So you turn to what God said. Add your faith virtue, which is right focus, and then when you turn towards God, and that's God's word, because that's all you know, then you add knowledge. Remember, ignorance, he said about Israel, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. When Scripture uses certain language and certain words, it's talking about particular things. When it's speaking about being in the ministry, it's not talking about, yeah, you know, Saul of Tarsus Ministries. It's not talking about the Apologetic Research Center. It's not talking about, those are all just, you know, at least as it pertains to ARC, you know, we just function as a vehicle by which to carry out the ministry. What is the ministry? It's the ministry of reconciliation. Every believer is in one ministry, or should be. The reason we're not is because our growth is not coming from, first of all, adding to faith virtue. Focus on, first on what God said, and then growing thereby. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. You know, and so he says, so when it speaks of knowledge in Scripture, it's talking about what God has revealed, his teaching, his word. Add to your faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Learn how to govern yourself in this new knowledge. And one of the things, one of the principal things that I was discipled with and I disciple others with, is that, okay, if I have come to accept that God, that the Bible is God's word, because either, you know, saying it contains God's word, you know, and this whole concept about, well, you know, see, the Bible is God's word, but men wrote it. Yeah, I know that. And Scripture actually addresses that. It says no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So, but holy men of God spake as they were moved. So, yeah, men wrote it. And it still says it's God's word. God breathed. Still says that. Yeah, but you know what? There are contradictions. You know, and I hear people say that, You know, I once was had a friend who was a Nation of Islam who wanted to tell me all the contradictions of God's word. And what was interesting is he was quoting sources that absolutely demolished everything he believed in the Nation of Islam. But I guess the enemy of my friend is my enemy. Oh, how do you say that? How do you say it? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so I did two things. First of all, I kept this discussion on, okay, this is your belief set, this is my belief set, let's talk about it, all right? Because if you want to debate me from what they're saying, then become them. But don't sit there and debate me about what they say, and then I spend time demolishing them, and then your answer is, well, I never believed that anyway, I'm not part of that group. That's a waste of my time. And I'm telling you, I've had that happen too many times. See, by reason of hatred, strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use have the senses to exercise to discern good from evil. I've done that too many times early in ministry where I would sit there and allow somebody to throw those red herring out and I'd demolish them. And then their only answer is, well, I never believe what they said anyway. That's them. No, stand on your square. I challenge anyone. If you have a belief set contrary to the word of God, that's fine. You're a free-thinking person. But that's where the discussion has to begin. Why would I debate you about what's in the Bible if you don't accept it as God's word? That's stupid. Because I could demolish you all day long, which the word of God is superior weaponry. And all you'd say is, well, I never believed that anyway. As a matter of fact, I've had people early on when I started doing this broadcast, you can go back and you'll find where I exercised that futility a couple of times. All right, coming up on 17 minutes left in here, let me give you the other ignorance. All right, I gave you the one, the ignorance, not wanting to submit to, well, let me finish with Peter first. All right, just grow. I want you to notice how first all of it takes place in you, even before you take your place. Beside your brethren. Notice what he says here. For this reason, give no diligence to faith, that's your birthday, spiritually speaking, to that virtue, which is right focus, to virtue knowledge, which is God's word, to knowledge self-control, start applying it to try to take control of your life, to self-control perseverance, be steadfast in doing it. Almost like when you train a child, it's the same thing. They are born, you know, the first thing you do is you try to focus them on what it is that you do so they can learn from you because you're the source of growth for them, all right? And then you add to them knowledge. You try to teach them the right thing to do. You try to teach them how to eat properly, you know? And then you try to teach them. First you teach them what to eat by presenting it to them and where to put it by putting it in their mouth, even the little airplane and meow and all the rest of that. And then to that knowledge, you try to give them self-control by, you know what, I'm going to give you a spoon now. You learn to put the food in your mouth, and kids learn. Their motor skills kick in. You know, everybody has a picture of their child with a bowl on their head with some spaghetti coming down their head because, you know what, every now and then they resort back to, you know, they take a couple steps backwards, but they're learning. And you're adding to that self-control, the ability to do things on your own, perseverance, to consistently do these things. Self-control is learning to do them. Perseverance is to consistently do them. And then you add to perseverance godliness. That is a way of life. It is only at that point where you learn your place in society that now you go to kindergarten. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. Because now, for the first time, instead of looking at you and how to control you, you are now looking to your brothers beside you. All right? And then you add to brotherly kindness, all right, agape, self-sacrificing love. You learn you have a responsibility in your brotherly kindness, a responsibility to esteem everybody as better than yourselves in the word of God. For if these things are in you and grow, he says in verse 8, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. Remember the first thing you learned? You'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in that very knowledge that you gleaned from adding to your faith virtue and the virtue knowledge. You'll neither be unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ, but listen to this. He who lacks these things, lacks this proper growth model, is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten he was purged from his own sin. So people who don't grow properly, their goal is to accomplish what they do each and every day. And I watch this amongst these people because they I could see where they're just, you know, I could see sometimes they preface their questions with, all right, here's a good one. So they spend their time trying to craft their tightly worded questions instead of trying to understand God's word. That is the goal of their day. Or they're searching the internet to find somebody to rail at. That is the goal. And the problem with that, and I guarantee you this, you see these people that right now it's the flavor of the day? Look at some of the people who used to be out here, you know, and involved in these things. They moved on to other stuff. You see, because they want the titular effect, something that stimulates them at the moment. It's not about understanding God's word and being focused on God's word. It's about what titillates them. The Apostle Paul, speaking about this situation and in reference to the same famine of the hearing of the word that Amos 8, 11, and 12 speaks to, said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, that short-sightedness that comes with your own desires, where you want to be the clever one, and your goal begins and ends with how you are perceived and how clever you can portray yourself. According to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or made up stories. So these well-meaning believers end up becoming the very thing that they decry because, as I said, their judgment is flawed. I once had a mentor in business who told me that we judge everybody else by their intentions and we judge ourselves by our actions. We judge everybody else by their actions and we judge ourselves by our intentions. That's why we can do the same thing as someone else, but we cut ourselves some slack. We don't even see it because, you see, we don't intend for it to come across like that. And we're shocked when somebody reveals that we did. Then we do these verbal gymnastics to get away from what we said and what we've rolled out there. Matthew chapter 7 says in verse 2, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured back at you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank, the log that is in your eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye, and look, a plank, a log is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck out of other people's eyes. We cannot rail at people who are misusing God's word because we disagree with a few things. And by the way, we rail at them, and we reference the word. We use the word to rail at them and then turn right around at the points we disagree with the word on and say, well, you know, we don't have to believe that. We can believe the Holy Spirit on that. That's just stupid. You don't know anything about the Holy Spirit apart from the word. So what if people come to you and say, yeah, you know what? Well, I don't have to believe. I believe the Holy Spirit in me. I got my own private interpretation. I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is teaching me that part with somebody's opinion, like the whole first five books, or whatever part you want to disagree with. Either it's God's word in all, or it's not God's word at all. That's the same ignorance that the Judaists say that Jesus is a great man, but he's not the Son of God. That option does not exist in history or in Scripture. Either Jesus Christ is God incarnate who died for our sins, you can't say, because that was his claim. Or he is a delusional man akin to someone believing that they are a lollipop. The option that he's a great teacher, saying the things he said, you know, if those things aren't true, no, that can't be a great teacher. Absolute idiot. No man comes to the Father but by me. Idiotic. If I lay down my life, I take it up again. Either that's true or it's idiotic. Likewise with the Word of God, and I know we can hide behind translates. I see people who will post different things like the railing against the NIV, and I agree that the NIV has some challenges, but I agree factually that there are some challenges to the NIV, and I understand that those challenges are due to the translational technique. I hold it to be a valuable tool, but I always ask people never to use it as their primary source, almost like a commentator, because the translational style is what's called dynamic equivalent, where you try to translate thought for thought. The problem with that is if someone believes, if they have a particular view about something, they can translate their opinion in. And I could actually demonstrate when that happened. It's not because they removed some words. That's just idiotic for people who have no idea what they're talking about. You know, translators choose to use the words that they want. I've heard people say, well, some places say Holy Ghost, and other places say Holy Spirit. Pneumagios. You know, it can be translated either way. Or I can use, for instance, 1 Timothy 1. You know, this whole struggle about bishop and overseer. You know, episkopos. It's one Greek word. A translator may choose to use a multitude of words to make this point. I could take yachud in Hebrew, and I could say, okay, united. We are united. Or I could decide to say, you know what? We are one. I didn't contradict anything. Because the word yachud means to unite in the sense, to be one in the sense of being united. So because the translator chooses to use an English word and another translator, oh, see God, see people are corrupted. That is the type of ignorance that comes from, well, there's nothing wrong with that ignorance except people are out here teaching from that ignorant perspective. On Monday's broadcast, I do want to address something somebody pointed out, a passage in Proverbs. And to not a fool in his folly, because I do want to check that. That's a contradiction. You know, and to not a fool in his folly, lest you appear to be like him. Then it says, answer a fool in his folly, lest he think he be wise. You know, and that's two successive verses, not two different places, two successive verses. Oh, it's a contradiction. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's addressing two different things, and guess what? The poetry of it is the way the translator chose to translate it. But just briefly, and we'll go in detail in it on Monday's broadcast, but all the passage is saying is, you know, don't assume the posture of someone speaking stupid, because you'll appear as stupid as they are. That's all. Do not answer a fool in his folly, lest you appear to be like him. And the second one it says, answer a fool in his folly, lest he think himself to be wise. All that translates to be is, you know, you have to respond factually to what they're saying, lest they think what they're saying is accurate. That's all. And the translator chose to use the same language to be poetic with it. That's it. Don't assume the posture of somebody talking idiotic because you're just you won't be able to distinguish them from you in the conversation. You'll seem as idiotic as they are. But you must respond to someone who is making these challenges factually. Otherwise, they'll think they'll be wise. That's all that passage is talking about. Someone actually presented that and thought they were clever with it. So I'm saying, if you, the Word of God has not been satisfied in you that it is in fact God's Word, then I suggest that that's where you must begin. All right, I didn't get to my questions. The statements. I will answer one because I only got 3 minutes left. How important is experience in a true Christian walk? I would say it is absolutely and of the utmost importance. It absolutely is, and I base that on not experience. I base that on the book of Hebrews, chapter 5 and verse 14, which I've quoted for you here today. I'll read 12 through 14. For by this time you ought to be teachers. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the elementary principles of the oracle of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use. And the word use there is the Greek word axis, which means by reason of, you know, not only hearing the God's word, but then being a doer of what you hear. Not only hearing God's word, as Peter said, but then exercising the self-control and perseverance that comes with yielding and submitting to God's word. God's word is not a shackle. It's a guide. It's not a shackle to be broken off. It is a guide to keep you from breaking off into your own understanding. Trust in the Lord God with all your heart, lead not your own understanding. Solid food belongs to those who are full age, those who by reason of exercise, by reason of exercising, by reason of experiencing what it is that they've been studying, have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. All right, again, this is my daily offering, as God said, God's holy word in ignorant times. Join me each and every day for this new daily broadcast, and I'll attempt to respond to all questions, comments, musings, and misinformation that's being presented in the marketplace of ideas concerning the Word of God. This broadcast will be Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. promptly, 30 to 45 minutes. Call the number is the same as my other broadcast, 646-652-2905. And if you happen to be listening via the archives, give me a call on my ministry line, 614-388-8838. I will be resuming my normal weekly broadcast. I won't be doing a Sunday or a Saturday broadcast anymore unless I do a special one, simply because these weeklies will suffice to address those, or these dailies, rather, to suffice issues that I hope to address there. I will be doing my Sunday broadcast. I have not settled on what it is that I'm going to be doing on this Sunday. That's why I haven't put it out there yet. So check my show page. I will make sure I have that done by tomorrow. All right, and so our next time together, which will be Sunday morning, promptly at 11 a.m., this is Rick Young, the Apologist. Hope you have a blessed day, and looking forward to our next time together. Blessings to you.
Thank you for joining me for today's edition of Ark Studies Live. I'm Rick Young. The Apologist segment focuses exclusively on addressing your questions and comments concerning hardcore doctrinal issues relating to biblical difficulties, countercult studies, and Christian apologetics. For more information about Ark, go to the World Wide Web at www.arkstudies.org. Again, that's www.arkstudies.org.